On Sunday afternoons, among other things, we've been taking a look at the book of Philippians, this church in Philippi, Macedonia, up north of the Aegean Sea, there between Greece, the country of Greece and Asia Minor, and modern-day Turkey, up there to the north. This church is in the land of Alexander the Great. And Brother Paul was looking to go northeast, up into the northern parters, the northern part of Asia Minor. But the Lord said, no, you're not going that way. Sent him a vision of a man from Macedonia saying, come over and help us. And so that being the case, Brother Paul and his troop understood that that's the direction that the Lord wanted them to go. And rather than go to the northern parts of Asia Minor at that time, it was to go on to Macedonia and ultimately into Greece. And along the way, there was these people there at Philippi. You remember Sister Lydia, how she was there gathered together with other women to pray, where they would meet together to pray. And Paul and the brethren with him went there and preached to them, and the Lord saved. And then the jailer, they were causing quite a stir and had been put in jail there in Philippi. And they're rejoicing in the Lord and looking to the Lord for help and deliverance of what was next. Paul didn't pull out at that time that he was a Roman and was due, you know, he was due process under Roman law. It wasn't until afterward that he made that known, and the elders of the city greatly feared. But there was it was needful for him to go through that jail. And the Philippian jailer, as we referred to him, he and his household was saved. As they heard the word of God and they heard the rejoicing of these two that were there, and then when the Lord opened up the prison, and jailer thought, well, this is it, because surely they've escaped. But Paul said, we're all here. There's no need for you to kill yourself, because that's what the jailer would give. He would give his life in turn for a lost soldier or a lost prisoner. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, repent, believe, and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so these are some that we know about, Lydia and her household, the jailer and his household that are there amongst others. And Epaphroditus is one that's there, isn't he, in time. He's one that has carried a gift to the Apostle Paul while seemingly he is indeed at Rome. There's references made here about the household of Caesar, and so we understand that Paul is writing this from Rome. A great theme in this book, starting out in chapter 1, is this fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel. This fellowship in the gospel means many things, and it's manifested by many things. Brother Epaphroditus is a testimony and witness of fellowship in the gospel. He brought the gift of the church at Philippi, the provision, to the Apostle Paul. And that travel, that work to get it to the Apostle Paul made him sick. Or his ministering to the Apostle Paul and those that were with him there as he's in Rome. It made him ill. He physically gave of himself that it was thought that he even might die. But he was willing to do that for the sake of the Lord and this calling and a stewardship that he'd been given of the Lord and the church to get this to the brother, and was a great blessing from the church carried by Brother Epaphroditus. And he showed this fellowship in the gospel. It cost him personally, but it was to the glory and honor of God. And so we have those things that are brought out in this book, what the fellowship of the gospel looks like. Last time we took a look in chapter 3, and we just want to refer to some things there. He speaks at the end of this chapter, and in this chapter is a chapter with a great a warning. Don't spiritually speaking, and in the things of eternal, in the eternal affairs of life and of life in Christ and that, don't be out there at the trash heap. Don't be out there where the dogs are at the trash heap. Don't be out there at the trash heap of self-righteousness by works that are done for salvation. Don't be out there with those that are the mutilators of the flesh, the concision, the cutters. Don't be out there. The Judaizers, it was something that has been going on now for decades. The ministry of the Apostle Paul spans 2 to 3 decades as we understand it. And he's been dealing with these people that they want to take. These Gentiles can't be saved unless they're circumcised. It started in Jerusalem. It went up to Antioch. They dealt with it back in Jerusalem. And then there's still continued pressure. It even affected some of the apostles. And so he's derogatory here in referring to them regarding the concision, the cutters. They insist that by the cutting of the flesh, men are saved. He said, all of my self-righteousness as a Jew and that prime resume that I have as a Jew, I take all of that and that goes to the dung heap that I might have Christ and his righteousness. That I might know him in his righteousness and what he's done. That I might even be brought to be able to suffer with him. That I might die with him, being conformable to his death. Christ, give me Christ. Don't give me what I have done before God. Give me what Christ has done for me, what he means for me. And it's laid out before us here about pressing towards that mark that is Christ. He says, I've been apprehended by the Lord. And in this life that I have remained, I look to apprehend the Lord. He's not talking about saving himself. He's already saved. The Lord has apprehended him. But he's pressing after the high calling. He's pressing after the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And what the Lord has given him to do, this stewardship, this calling, this ministry, this pursuit that the Lord has given him, he says, I am pressing towards him in obedience. He says, be thus minded. Chapter 3, verse number 15. And you know what? If you don't quite get it yet, the Lord can reveal that unto you. But consider about how it really is. The kingdom of God is not clothing and meat. The kingdom of God is the fruit of the Spirit and that which can only come from the Spirit of God that is eternal. We know that from other messages and other passages we've been looking at here lately. He says, let us walk together. Let us walk by the same rule. Let us mind the same thing. There's singleness and there's unity in Christ. Talked a little bit in our Sunday school class this morning about Catholicism and universalism and how Catholicism takes an approach regarding the church as the big visible church. How the Protestants, they had visibles already taken up, so they had to take the invisible route, okay? Christ is not divided like that. There's not a division about different ways of salvation, different ways of service, and different approaches. Oh, there's diversity of operation, but one Lord. There may be diversities of offices and stuff to get things done in a body, but there's one Lord. There's one way. There's one Savior, one God and King, and he's united, and we need to be united in him. The way Jesus does it is the way that you and I need to do it. That's it. Not our own idea. Not another idea for the sake of convenience or what makes sense to us. But the way the Lord says, what Jesus does, that's what we're to do in every whit of our life. He says, here it says, be followers together of me, but mark them which walk so, like me, as you have us for an example. You know, that's a bold statement, and Paul says it, and he is known to be faithful. Yet in Romans, what, chapter 7 or so, he tells us about the great wrestling and that he has with his old man. He calls himself a wretched man. You know, I want to be a good example to you, and I want to be a good example and a good witness to those round about me. I tell you what, I don't want you to follow me. I want you to follow Christ. He is the perfect man to mark. And we do need to be a good witness, because it's just the means that the Lord uses in our lives. We have those that the Lord used to be a good witness to us and testimony of Christ, telling us about the Lord Jesus and the salvation that we needed. And we saw in them how the Lord had touched them and changed them. And then as we're saved, we're just babes. We just don't know hardly what's going on other than we've been saved. And we have those around about us that are settled in the Word of God, that know the Word of God, that are teachers to us and examples to us. The Lord uses those means. And we're thankful for that. But the Lord Jesus Christ, He is the witness and the example that all of us need to follow. And you need to have fellowship with Him to do that. And you need to look to Him in His Word and in prayer. And so mark them. He speaks here about those that are the enemies of Christ. We'll not spend any time on that this afternoon, verses 18 and 19. But He comes back to us and He says, our conversation, our thinking, doing, and speaking is in heaven. That's where we get our directive, our leadership, our guidance, our witness of how to be, from whence also we look for the Savior. He's coming from heaven one day, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body. He'll change our vile body, because that's where we have the wrestling, isn't it, with our vile body. I mean, if we lay it out there plain and straight, this old mind and this old flesh is vile indeed. Our minds have not been saved. Our bodies have not been saved. We got an old dead man strapped on our backs as the children of God, and we have a wrestle with Him. But He's going to change that one day, and it's going to be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able even to subdue all things unto Himself. Satan's going to be subdued. His judgment is past. Jesus did that in the day of the fulfilling of His passion, His gospel, nearly 2,000 years ago. And Satan's out of business. Now, he's still on the loose, but he's done. Jesus did that in that day. He'll bring him to an end in his time. Sin has been defeated. And even what sin brings, the thing that mankind fears the most, death, Jesus has entered into that and defeated it, abolished it, the scripture says, for His children. The very thing that we fear as mankind the most, death, has been turned into by our Lord for us as the gateway, the release from this wickedness and this depravity and this sin. And we'll be like our Savior. We'll be with our Savior forevermore. So then he says in chapter 4, what we want to look at this afternoon, therefore, because of all that, brothers and sisters, because of all that, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for. Remember, Paul's a Jew. But most likely all those there in Philippi are Gentiles. They were heathen. They were Greek and Roman God worshipers. They worshiped the host of heaven. They worshiped themselves. And now they're called brethren because of Christ Jesus. Dearly beloved. You know how the scripture says that we are accepted in the beloved. You know, we belong there by the Father and the Son as the children of God. Oh, glory. What a wondrous thing to be called, to be known as the child of God by God, for us to know the Lord and for Him to know us. My brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, He said, I want to see you. I want to be with you. How is it with your brothers and sisters in Christ? Do you want to be with them? Do you tolerate them? Do you and I program ourselves to endure them for the little while that we're obligated, or do we want to be with them? Paul wanted to be with these people, these brothers and sisters at this church. My joy and my crown, what a rejoicing, the stewardship that he has in being a preacher of the gospel of the Gentiles, the Lord saved. They are his rejoicing, not boasting before the Lord. He boasts in Christ, but he's been used this way. What greater joy there is that the Lord birthed children by the Lord using him as the means to carry the gospel and be used him in that ministry to reach them. It's the Lord that reached them, but he used him to do it. He directed him to do it. Paul was going to go northeast. The Lord said, "No, you're going to go northwest, son. I've got people over there." Isn't that wondrous? So my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Brother Bobby led us in a song and it talked about standing in the Lord's strength alone. You know, I know it can be picky about words, but you know, it's right to stand in the Lord. It's another thing to stand for something. I see standing for something as being external to it, but to stand in it. Stand in the Lord, the immersion in the Lord, the immersion in him, the immersion in his power and his presence and his calling. Stand in the Lord. Stand fast in the Lord. See, it's not us. We can't stand on our own, but in the Lord we can stand. He can cause us to stand. Stand fast, steadfast in the Lord. We see that in the book of Ephesians, don't we? That we're to stand, having done all to stand. Stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudias and beseech Syntyche. So there's these two individuals. We don't know if they're men or women. I would believe and judge that they would be men. He's pleading them in this epistle openly that they be of the same mind in the Lord. We don't know what the issue is. We don't know what's at hand. We don't know if this is a charge and a reproof to turn from disagreement that they have. Or we don't know, maybe this is an exhortation for them to keep on keeping on in that. But he says, what you need to be is you need to be of the same mind. You need to be lockstep with the Lord and his work there in Philippi. He says, beseech, that word is strong. It's saying, I'm begging you. I'm pleading with you. You two brethren, that you be of the same mind in the Lord. Two brethren, a brother and a sister, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. Maybe it's a household issue. Maybe it's a husband and a wife. Be of the same mind in the Lord. Not divided, but of the same mind. Maybe it's two brothers in the flesh that are brothers in Christ. We just don't know. We don't know what it is, but be of the same mind in the Lord. Because Christ is not division, certainly amongst the saints. Be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow. So this is to the whole church. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. Women that labored in the gospel. You know, there can be a thinking that the women in the church are just nothing. I've known some that think that way. But brethren, let me tell you, what would it be like if we didn't have our wives? What would it be like in the church if we didn't have our sisters here to fill the role, fill the jobs that the Lord has for them to do? Now, let me tell you, they do a lot of washing and a lot of cleaning and sometimes painting. A lot of washing, a lot of cleaning, a lot of cooking, painting. I don't like to paint. But they'll do the painting even. Since we've been helping out mom and dad, I've gotten a lot better at washing dishes. But I don't like to wash dishes. But sometimes you got to wash dishes. And you know, if you want to just like floor your wife, brethren, go wash the dishes someday. But you know what? They do those things, and those physical things are necessary. But you know what else they do? in this ministry? They pray. And if we took and we extracted the prayers of the ladies of our church, where would we be? None of us know the extent to what they pray. And I believe our ladies, our sisters, I believe they pray. What if we just took that out of the picture? Where would we be? What would be the Lord hearing their prayers and working? How many, and again, we're on the human side of this, how many would there be there that wouldn't be saved if their prayers were extracted? I know the Lord's got a purpose and a plan, but you and I have a responsibility too. How much would be extracted from us if the ladies of our church and the ministries that we have wouldn't have been involved in the teaching? In the year after year, decade after decade, teaching the children of our church and the different ministries like that, Sunday school and VBS and special things that we have, and then doing that part, setting before them those foundational accounts in the scriptures that they need from the Old Testament all the way to the New. What if we just pulled that out of this church for the 6 decades plus that the church has been around? What would we look like? They've got a ministry. It's a more quiet, not upfront ministry. But they labor. They labor indeed. You know, it makes mention in the scripture about how it was there and how it is today that the Lord adds to the church, and the distinction is clearly made, men and women. The Lord adds. Remember the first convert in Philippi? Was a woman. I've heard to women, wives, were referred to as the maid. They have a role. There is a role that the Lord has given, and to be a keeper at home. But brethren, your wife is not the maid. She's your wife. She's your best friend. That's what the Lord expects. Best friend on the earth. She's your soulmate, your lover. The mother of your children. Brethren, she's our other half. And the Lord says if we treat her good, we're treating ourselves good. The Lord says if we kick her, we're kicking ourselves. That's what the Lord says. And don't think there's any justification to change that, because there's not. And here Paul makes a special point to this church. He says, I entreat thee also. He says, I'm bearing down on you. True yoke fellow. We're yoked up together in this. Help those women which labored with me in the gospel. You know, the economy of the Lord is such that those women that sewed up Brother Paul's coat, or sewed up his cloak, or washed his clothes, or made a meal for him and his. The Lord's economy has made it to where they will receive the Apostle Paul's reward. And so when we start adding up in our minds and thinking that we can stack up about how the rewards will be, wonder how it's going to be in glory. For every one of the ladies of our church that was willing to provide a meal for the brethren that came to preach, or for your own pastor, or prayed, or helped out. You know, we kind of think, it's real easy for us to think that we know what's going on, how it's all going to stack up. We may not have a clue, because the Lord economy is just like that. Women have got a position and a calling of the Lord that's to be in support of their men. For a young lady to be in submission to her father until such time that she would become married and then to be in submission to her husband. And we think of that wording of submission as that just like pushing her down and it's degrading to her and puts her on another level. But what's it going to look like in eternity? What's it going to look like in eternity for a gal that follows the Lord and is obedient to the Lord and satisfied with the Lord's economy and be a good supporter and helper as the Lord designed to her husband, and minister to the ends of what the ministry can be for her in the church. What's that going to look like in eternity? Things may be way different than what we think, huh? Yeah. He says, I entreat you, true yoke fellow, help those women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, another brother, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Your name written in the book of life. You know how it was known, how Paul knew that they were written in the book of life? Was that by revelation from God that they're written there? No. It's because of what they did. They were changed. They were got a hold by the Lord and the Spirit of God to where God, what the Lord Jesus said, what the Word of God said, what the men of God preached under the direction and gave us in the Scripture from the Spirit of God. They were convicted of it and their lives were changed by it. And they followed it. That's how he knew their names were written in the book of life. They claimed Christ as their only Savior and Redeemer, not their works, but their Lord Jesus and what he did for them on Calvary, that they were the sinner that needed saving, and that the Lord set them on a new course to eternity. That is Christ Jesus. And they were there at Philippi. He says, and it's apropos, isn't it? Rejoice in the Lord always. Yeah, and why not? Our lives have been changed for the good. We've been blessed. What a wondrous thing. What a wondrous economy. What a wondrous rescue. These people worshiped pagan gods of mythology. And they'd been saved out of that. And any of the Jews, they had become ambivalent about what their heritage was in that, or they thought that they could be saved by the keeping of the law. And the Lord saved them out of that too, the same way as he saved the Gentiles, by the preaching of Christ Jesus. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Rejoice in your Lord. What good things he has done for us. Let your moderation. This word moderation is a culmination of things. Compassion, patience, which is speaking about cheerful continuance and endurance. The pressure is on. You know, I don't do good under pressure. And when I get scared, I get angry. That's a bad reaction that I have to fear, is getting angry. I don't know if it's that way with you or not. It's not right. But when there's pressure, we need to go to the Lord. And we need to seek his face when we're challenged and we're pressed. We need to seek his face, and then we need to wait on him for the answer. You know, we spend the most of our time in the service of the Lord waiting. Waiting. We have to wait a lot. You know, the unsaved are commanded to come to the Lord. The children of God are told to wait on the Lord. And listen, if you don't pray and don't supplicate to the Lord, you're going to be waiting a long time. But we need to pray. We need to wait. We need to patiently wait. We need to have compassion. We need to be meek. Strength and power under control. Just because we can doesn't mean that we should. We need to have our tongue under control. We need to bring our thoughts captive to Christ. We need to be found repenting of our sins and our errors and our doubt. We need to be found hoping all things. Isn't that what charity does? One of the many things that charity does? Hoping all things. Not the pessimist, but the hopeful in Christ Jesus. We need to, when we're faced with an impossible thing, it needs to be with us that we say, the Lord is able to do it. We don't know how, but He's able to do it. Those things and more are wrapped up in moderation. That it be seen. That it be heard by our brothers and sisters in Christ and by those that are unbelieving. Let your moderation be known unto all. And the exemplifying, the going forth from us, the manifestation of this moderation lets folks know the Lord is at hand. You know, when you and I get in a screaming fit about things, does that tell folks that the Lord's at hand? No, it tells everybody that we're just out of control and anger's going to rage. Doesn't speak anything about the Lord. Our wrath, our anger doesn't work the righteousness of God. But I tell you what, if we're under control, resting and trusting in the Lord, going to the Lord, asking the Lord to help and work, being patient, cheerfully enduring. You know, it's easy to endure, or you can endure, but not doing it joyfully. We're still missing the mark. Lord, help us. Lord, help us with the Lord's help we only can, that we need to cheerfully endure. You know, I had this earache going. I know I'm talking about that a lot. It's in the side of my head. It's a lot better. Thanks for praying for me. But over that weekend, I tell you what, I was not joyful. And that's to my shame. I knew the Lord could help me, but I was having a hard time with patience, waiting for Him to help me. And I admit that to you, that you might know that I don't speak these things to you that it's easy in and of ourselves, because when we look to ourselves, it's not going to be easy, because it's not going to happen. But our Lord can help us, but we've got to go to Him for it. And we get out of control and we run our mouths and we're hurtful and or just we don't represent the Lord well, you know, it's not witnessed by us that the Lord's at hand. We let our moderation be known to all. And again, that comes back to the fruit of the Spirit. So it's a spiritual thing, meaning it's an eternal thing. And how do we know about it? And how can we learn about it? It's from the Word of God, what He said, what Jesus has said, and He Himself. Let your moderation be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing. We say to our children, be careful and have a good time. You know, they're going to go off and do something or whatever it is. And in our family, some of our children started saying, now I can't think of what they say. Be careless and wreckful. So just the opposite. It's not talking about seeing a hole in the ground and just walking on through it and falling in it and breaking your leg. It's talking about not being so excited and worry. You know, worry. Worry is a great robber. What if this happens? What if that happens? What if the other thing happens? Now, if you see something that's going to catch on fire, you need to make some changes there so something won't catch on fire. But most likely, 90% of what we worry about never comes to pass. And we just kill ourselves, and again, those around us, by worry, 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 worry. And you know what? What we need to do with worry is we need to take it to the Lord and say, Lord, we need your protection. We need your help. Give us the sense to do what's right and good, you know. The guard with our children and just things that make sense and that are right to protect them, to teach them, not be careless and reckless. You know, Lord Jesus Himself says that we're not to be tempters of God. We're not to tempt the Lord. When Satan told Him to jump off the pinnacle of the temple, He said, you don't tempt the Lord. But we don't need to be worried about everything. Be careful for nothing. What do we need to substitute worry with? Prayer. Lord, we need your protection. You know, we get in these vehicles and it's said by you, brethren, we meet on the two lane. We meet that oncoming traffic. We're maybe separated by 6 feet or something like that. You know, it would end up being 110 to 140 mile an hour impact if we head on collisioned. You know, if the Lord doesn't take care of us on the road, tornadoes, flood, famine, pestilence, if the Lord doesn't take care of us, COVID, pneumonia, if the Lord doesn't take care of us, we're not going to be taken care of. And so threats are at hand. I mean, it's just dangerous living. It's sure enough dangerous being a child of God living. It's going to become more dangerous. Be careful for nothing. But what's he say? Don't worry, but in everything by prayer. So we pray for ourselves and our own, speaking of our families. And supplication, we pray for one another, right? For our brothers and sisters in Christ. You pray for me and my family. I pray for you and your family that the Lord will watch care over. Give us help and safety. Protect us. We're not to be worriers. We're to be prayerful. Asking the Lord to protect us. He's the only... You think the police can protect you? You think grabbing your own sidearm can protect you? Listen, the only one that can protect us is the Lord. And indeed, if we have an intruder, we need to defend ourselves. Yeah, sure. But are you going to be a guaranteed good aim? No way. But the Lord, he can protect us. And he does all the time, doesn't he? Be careful by nothing, but be careful for nothing, but in everything. Here's our directive, by prayer and supplication, prayer unto the Lord, petitioning him, supplicating for one another. Help brother so-and-so with this, help sister so-and-so with that, help that family, help us together as a church, help those that we're witness to. But everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, don't forget to be thanking him for the way he does answer. And I'm thankful for that, brethren. When you do thank the Lord for his working, that's good. We need to be thankful. We are to be the most thankful people that there are. We know the Lord. He knows us. He's given us a way to live. And it's real. It's not pie in the sky. It's real. It's not an incantation or the rote peeping and murmuring of the heathen and what they pray to their gods. But we've got a living God that answers and works and helps us, is interested in us. Prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Make your requests. Let your requests be made known unto God. So we have desires, thanksgiving. We have concerns. One brother years ago, he said, we don't like to say that we worry. We just say that we have concerns. You know, the Lord knows when we're worrying. And, you know, we have burden. I think burden is a good thing. It doesn't need to be worry. And what my advice to some is when you're worrying, I tell you what, take that thing and flip it over to prayer. Because worrying isn't going to do a thing. Lord, here's what I pray to the Lord, something like it. Lord, you know this is on my heart and it's really, really troubling me. And Lord, you know what I want done. I want this to be helped. It seems like to me that this would be helped in this way. This needs to be turned to what's right. But Lord, I can't do it. But you can. And I pray that you would. And you know it's got me down. It's got me troubled. It's on my heart. But you're the only one that can do something, and I pray that you would. And help me to wait on you. And help them or help that. And help me to keep my eyes on you about it. And I pray that you would help in it. And when that worry starts coming back again, you go right back to the same place. Lord, here I am again. It's tearing me up. Lord, it's grievous. You know how bad and how terrible it is. And there needs to be a change there. It's just going to be more hurt, more sorrow, more farther away from you, whatever the case is. Father, if you don't get intervene and work, they're going to die. You know, with all kinds of different things. And Lord, I pray that you would work in it and you'd help them, that you'd do a good thing that would be merciful unto them and glorifying to you. Let our requests be made known unto God. You know what your will is. Let your requests be made known unto God, verse 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Did he just say that by prayer, supplication, and thanksgiving, making our requests be made known unto God will bring the peace of God? Will bring the peace of God which passeth all understanding. You know, when we get into medical things, we try to understand, but you know, when you get down to the nitty gritty, it's hard to understand that stuff. Or we look on at a family situation, or we look on at a relationship situation. You know, it's just beyond us to know all the details about how it got there and how it could ever be fixed or helped. But the Lord does. The Lord, he knows. And you know what? By supplicating, by praying, by bringing it to him, yielding it to him, looking to him for it, you know, we can have peace that as you and I would physically, carnally rack it up, we could never understand how we could have peace. And the peace is not apathy. You know, we can deal with things by apathy. We can just make ourselves not care. It's not that. It's not that we don't care. But we have peace. And where does peace come from? Only from the Spirit of peace. No peace found amongst mankind. No peace found amongst you and me and the descendants of Adam. We don't have peace. And the God, the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You know, a kept heart and a kept mind is kept from going out of control, isn't it? And I tell you what, it's a blessing. People in this world are killing themselves because their hearts and their minds aren't kept. They're despairing. Because their hearts and their minds aren't kept. They're on overload and they're on wild mode. But our Lord and His Spirit can keep our hearts and our minds, can guard us, can restrain us, can restrain and hold down this carnality, this naturalness in us. And indeed, we can have peace. One more thing that we want to touch on. Here in verse number 8, and we sing a chorus about this. Our hearts and minds kept through Christ Jesus. You know, we look to Him, look to Jesus. What would He do? What has He done? What's He give us? He says, be careful for nothing. And so when you want to start, be careful. When you want to start worrying, where's that start? Right there in your heart and your mind. Starts with your thinking, right? Our thinking starts us, makes us, we allow that to where the worry, the seed of the factory of worry starts churning and churning and churning there in the factory of sin within us. Be careful for nothing. Be prayerful. Make our requests known unto God. The peace of God and that passeth all understanding shall keep our hearts and our minds through Christ Jesus. And so, what do you need to think about? What do you and I need to think about? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true in life, relationships between the Lord and us, whatsoever things are honest in life and our relationships between us and the Lord, whatsoever things are just, are justified between us and the Lord and our relationships and in life, whatsoever things are pure, between us and the Lord and our relationships and in living life, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are good, of good report, if there be any virtue, that's power and righteousness, if there be any praise, that's unto the Lord of His goodness, think on these things. If you think on anything else, you're going to go to Worryville. You're going to go to hatred gendering. You're going to go to anger and wrath. It's no good. But thinking on these things, thinking on the goodness, the ableness, the possibilities and blessings with the Lord getting in the middle of the thing. You know, people say, and I understand what's meant, but you know, to break it down, prayer works. Prayer, you ever, we've said that ourselves. You hear people say, prayer works, prayer works. Well, be careful there. When the Lord gets behind something, He will work it. And we pray into Him. Don't disassociate prayer from the Lord, because we're petitioning Him. And if the Lord gets behind a thing, I tell you what, it'll be done well, won't it? So prayer works because God has got behind the thing and has made something glorious happen to His glory and honor and to the deliverance of someone or something, some issue, something that's at hand. I'm thankful that we can pray, aren't you? I mean, it's a prayer is an element there that just closes up this circle, if you will, of the working of God and His plan, the responsibility that man has, and the ability that we have to petition God to work. I tell you, prayer, it's so easy to discount prayer to the Lord, but it's like the key that sews all that together. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, a good account, good news, good report, not pessimism. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise of God, think on these things. He says, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me. There he is again referring to himself. Do. I say to you, and Paul, what Paul says is true. What you've seen in him, what you've learned from him, what you received of him, heard and seen in him through the scriptures, do that. But I would tell you, those things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in Christ, you do those too. Do those first. And the promise is, and the God of peace shall be with you. Do you have joy, as we've seen and looked there in the book of Romans, and peace? Or is your inner world just a world of turmoil and dissatisfaction, murmur and complaint? Tell you what, you need the Lord. You need the Lord. It can happen that way. It can be that way with the children of God. You know, how was it with Lot? Do you see Lot as a joyful man? He's saved. You know, I see David as a joyful man when he wasn't being oppressed. But he had his times, didn't he? May the Lord help us and hear and believe this. Not just something that we hear and we know, but that we would seek the Lord's help and face to put it to work in our lives. The God of peace shall be with you. Peace. Peace. May the Lord help us in it.